my friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, April the 19th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. Well, my friends, we are now up to the fourth Sunday of Easter. I mean, again, we celebrate this for 50 days. So really, if you think about it, we're only 21 days in. But the other thing is, wow, we're already 21 days in to the celebration of new life that our God gives us, that our God participates in, that our God invites us to participate in. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that here in our readings today. Thank you for being with me. That is just so awesome, and I love that you are listening. And if this is something, brothers and sisters, that is meaningful to you, gosh, I invite you to pass it on to anyone you know that they can break open God's Word along with us as well. And my whole intention of this is just that this would be a tool that all of us use to when we go to Mass on Sunday, that it becomes more full. It becomes something that is more meaningful to all of us, allowing that Word, that Spirit of Jesus to live within us, to take root within us, so we can live within that place and we can be those witnesses. Again, foreshadow. We're going to talk about that. All right. What are we going to hear today? We're going to hear the first reading in the Gospel, which is pretty typical. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. So it's going to pick up pretty much where we left off last week, but I'll give a little bit of background and context on that. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. Then we're going to go to the Gospel, and we're going to get out of the Easter season now for a little bit. Now, okay, we're in the season of Easter, but up until this point, we've been hearing stories that have taken place like on Easter Sunday. Now we're gonna go back in time, as in a sense, and we're going to go to John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18, and we're going to stay on this for a while. We're going to hear that metaphor of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, so we're going to hear that today as well, John 10, verses 11 to 18. So, brothers and sisters, however it is that you prepare yourself to open yourself to the Word of God, I invite you to do that at this time, again, this Word may take root. This Word may find a home within you, that we may live it well. So let's break open God's Word together. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely, by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, as always, brothers and sisters, if there was a thought, an image, an idea, a word, a phrase, whatever it is that stuck out, let the Spirit of God speak to you well in this moment. And even to the point of pausing the podcast, if you need to, please do. Let the Word of God speak to you well. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to continue, I'm sure next week, I haven't looked, but if memory serves, in John chapter 10. And so we're going to stay there for a little while in our gospel readings. But what are we hearing in the gospel today? What is there a thread that runs through them? And if so, what is that thread? Well, let's start with the reading from Acts, okay? And I think, brothers and sisters, this is one of the threads that I think is very important. Okay, what's the context here? So Eileen and I chatted last week on the podcast, and what we read out of in the first reading was Acts chapter 3. And Eileen stated correctly that what we heard took place immediately after Peter and John were walking into the temple in the afternoon for the hour of prayer. And as they walked in, there was a beggar at the front door of the temple, if I can say that, just in the entryway of the temple. And he's been there for years. Everybody knew him. When he came and went from the temple, you saw this gentleman. And he looked up at Peter and John and said, What can you give me? Can you give me alms? And Peter said, no, I've got no silver, I've got no gold to give you, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, be healed. Stand up, walk. I mean, his words were almost identical, right, to what Jesus said numerous times. You know, I say to you, pick up your mat, rise. And the man does. And he starts jumping and leaping for joy, and he follows Peter and John into the temple where a great crowd of people gather around them. And what we heard last week was Peter speaking to the great crowd. Well, okay, so after that speech that we heard last week, the elders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, effectively, the ruling body of the Jewish temple area, saw this large crowd gathered. They saw the gentleman healed, and they became afraid. And so they brought Peter and John and this formerly lame beggar, now healed, into the Sanhedrin to answer for what was going on. And I guess the thread I'd say is, do you see the pattern? Do you see the same exact thing happening? Jesus healed those who were lame and blind and crippled. And he gathered a large crowd around him because of it. And the Sanhedrin, the elders of the people, got scared, and they brought him before it. And ultimately, he got crucified because of it, right? Because they didn't want an uprising. They didn't want the Romans to be concerned about this person, and they didn't want to lose their own position of power. And so they see, brothers and sisters, the same pattern happening in Peter and John and their actions. Isn't that it? Didn't we hear the word last week, we are to be witnesses of these things? That's what Peter said. We are to be witnesses not only of the healings that take place, the witnesses ultimately of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And if indeed we are to be witnesses, brothers and sisters, that same pattern is going to happen in our lives. Granted, we're not at the temple. The Sanhedrin are not going to call you and I forward. But those in positions of power, those who like things as they are, those who fear change for whatever reason, are going to call us onto the carpet about that. Because the kingdom of God is going to come into conflict with the kingdom of the world, whatever that kingdom looks like. And that doesn't mean all things in the world are bad. I don't want you to hear that. The world is filled with the goodness of God. But those actions, those ways in which our world, read anybody in power in any situation, work that are not of God, that are not justice and kindness and mercy, as Micah would invite us to, anything that is not, and we witness to that, we are going to get called before like Peter and John do. But here's the deal. And here's another thread that happens. Peter and John are not afraid to speak the truth to whatever that power is. And Jesus does the same in the gospel. Because Jesus is speaking directly to the Pharisees, and they know it. And I guess I bring this up, brothers and sisters, because boy, oh boy, if there is an invitation for you and I, not only to be witnesses to the resurrection in how we live our lives, which of course we are invited to, but we are called to speak the truth to power. Listen to this. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, the elders of the people, the very people that crucified Jesus a handful of weeks before. This was the person who was hiding behind locked doors 2 weeks ago, right? Leaders of the people and elders. He's surrounded by them. Leaders of the people and elders. If we, meaning John and himself, are being examined today about a good deal done to the cripple, the guy standing next to me, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus the Nazarene, whom you all who are surrounding me, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. I mean, my goodness, the bravery, the courage, the honesty. All right, forgive me, I got to take a drink of water. I'm getting too into this here. Ah, relief. Okay. But then he says, and this is the one I really want us to ponder here. He is the stone, meaning Jesus, is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Now, he's quoting Psalm 118. If you go to Mass this weekend, you're going to hear it. It's going to be our responsorial psalm. And the elders of the people would have known that, of course. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, meaning you all thought he was insignificant. He was not the stone that would be important in this building or any other building. He was worthy of being cast aside, and you did cast him aside. And Peter is not afraid to name that. The very thing you thought to be insignificant that wouldn't be missed is the very cornerstone of the movement that we are a part of, that all these people are coming to listen to, the thing that you are afraid of. Brothers and sisters, I guess I would invite us to ponder this in our life. Are there people, are there ways of being in our life that we think are insignificant to us, to our relationship with God, to our families, to our communities, whatever those are, that we deem insignificant, that we may be overlooking? The Pharisees and the Sadducees sure missed it. I think this is our human experience, that we become tunnel vision in a sense, that we see what we think is important, and it may well be important, but we miss that which we feel like is insignificant, and it too may become the cornerstone in who we are invited to become. Another way I'd look at this too, and I've talked about this before for longtime listeners, and I do it through kind of the 12-step idea, that which is going on within us, that which we think is insignificant, that which we cast aside, that which we do not think about, or we wish were not part of our lives, the way we think, whatever it is. And in the 12-step idea, it's that addiction. That very addiction can become the cornerstone of who we are. How do I mean that? Because the more we can embrace that and say, it is part of who we are, this addiction, this way of thought, this thing that I do not like, but I continue doing, the more I can not put it into the shadow or put it out of my mind, the more I can put it almost front and center and say, this is who I am. The more I can embrace that, the more I can say, God, this is what, I need your assistance with this because I cannot maneuver around this. The more I cannot say, listen, I I mean, it's the whole idea with addiction. My name is Joe and I'm an alcoholic. I am powerless to it. And we see our powerlessness and we hand that very insignificant, that very part that we think is not only insignificant, but detrimental to who we are or we are ashamed about, and we hand it to our God and we allow our God to bring it to someplace new. I mean, it's a humbling act. It's a humbling act that names who and what part of us is about. And in that humility, we allow and invite the Spirit of God into that place. And inviting that Spirit of God in through that area of which we are ashamed, that area we wish weren't a part of us, that area that we think brings us down, instead, salvation comes through it. Because our God enters in. And we know that we are powerless, and we must invite God's help in that area. The stone which the builders rejected, that which is insignificant in our lives, in our community, can become the very thing through which salvation comes. I know I'm going long, so I want to go on to the gospel. So again, the thread that I mentioned, so Jesus is saying this to the people of power. I just want to, I don't want to repeat what I said to you, but Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man or woman, the hired person who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not their own, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. Now again, remember, he's speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He knows they're speaking about them, and they know he's speaking about them. He's calling them hired workers, hired shepherds, who don't care for the people and who run away when something bad happens because they're only in it for pay. He's really naming the truth of the situation. So again, we are invited, brothers and sisters, not to cause trouble for trouble's sake, but we are invited to be witnesses of the truth when it is of the kingdom of God, right? And it opposes the kingdom of power, the kingdom of control, the kingdom of the world. Okay, but what do I want to talk about in the gospel? It's so beautiful. And again, Jesus is talking about, hey, listen, we got to lay down our life. The real good shepherd is the one that lays down their life for others. We've talked about that before. It is perhaps the central theme of what Jesus is inviting us to. So I'm not going to talk about it again, even though it is central. It is not insignificant. Don't let that be the stone that we reject here. Laying down one's life on behalf of others is, it is elemental. It is grounding to who we are. But I want to go to a line and just invite us to chew on it. That's almost a throwaway line in what he says. But he says this, in the midst of this beautiful reading, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. I'm going to read it again. He's talking to the leaders of the Jewish people. And he says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, meaning to your fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and we will be one flock, one shepherd. Who's he talking about here? I mean, the easy answer, I think, would be the Gentiles, right? He's saying, listen, Jewish people, there are going to be Gentiles invited on this ministry. But, you know, that doesn't really make sense into the context of what's being said here. He's talking to the Jewish people. Why would he say that? And I do think that's probably where he's going. But I love to take it to its nth degree. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world that's black and white. Us and them. Good guys and bad guys. There are other people who belong to Jesus that we may think don't, all right? I don't know who the them is in your life. I don't know who the bad people are, quote unquote. I don't know who the us, the them, or whatever it is. Whoever is on the outs versus our ins. But I think Jesus would look at us today and say, listen, Joe, listen, you know, Brian, listen, Mariah, there are other people that I have in other sheep that don't belong to this fold, to this group that you think everybody belongs to, and these also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. Is he speaking about different faiths here? Is he speaking about different worlds here? Is he speaking about different creation? Like, not just humanity? Brothers and sisters, I think what he's inviting us to here is out of this black and white, us and them, in and out thinking. I think he's inviting us to... Sorry, gosh. He's inviting us to this idea that we are one. And that oneness spans whatever division that we have created in our minds and in our lives and in our society. There is no in and out. There is no us and them. We are one. And Jesus is the shepherd of all of us. There will be one flock and one shepherd. And I guess the last thing I would say today before I go to prayer is, who are those people that we put, who are those, whatever it is, that today we are going to simply overlook because they are not part of whatever flock we are a part of, or we think is whatever that one flock is? And how do we break down those barriers and those walls? Because I think Jesus wouldn't have those. And I think we can look to scriptures like this that say, hey, listen, it is not about what we think are the walls and the barriers, that there are others that are part of this. And even if we don't recognize it, Jesus does. And if we are going to be witnesses to that, don't we need to follow in like footsteps? Don't we need to break down those walls and not just let Jesus take care of it? Aren't we called into that same place where people of power will wonder why we're breaking down those walls and we need to witness to the truth? I think that's where he's inviting us. And with that, my friends, let's take it to prayer. So we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fourth glorious mystery, the Assumption of Mary. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Thanks for being with me today. And may your week, your coming days, be filled with every good joy and blessing. Be well, and God's peace.